And if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 1, please, tonight, the beginning of Hebrews, the first three verses is what we'll be looking at. The book of Hebrews is about the supremacy and the all-sufficiency of Jesus Christ. It proves that He is greater than the prophets. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than His creation. He was before all things. And so, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to preach Christ and Him crucified tonight. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, we're going to look at the first three verses. Let's ask God's help as we open. Lord, as we open Your Word tonight, we pray that You would speak through these words, Lord. Lord Jesus, as we have just sung, as Robert pointed out, You are here in our midst. Lord, we are gathered here tonight to praise You and to experience You. Lord, help me as I preach You, Lord. Such a great word. And Father, I pray that our hearts and our minds would be focused upon You. And as we consider these passages, Lord, may we walk from this place knowing You more, loving You more, serving You more as the all-supreme God. Grant us this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by His Son, whom He has appointed heir of all things, through whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. And verse 4 also, having become so much better than the angels, as He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. God at various times and in various ways, verse 1, spoke to the fathers by the prophets. This is the introduction. He spoke through a burning bush. He spoke through various men as the Holy Spirit came upon them. And in these last days, the writer of Hebrews, who we don't quite know who it is, for a number of years in the church it was regarded as being Paul. Notwithstanding that, we know it's Holy Scripture. And the writer of the book of Hebrews knew the people well. He knew the people well to whom he wrote. And he says, in these days, He has spoken to us by His Son. And I want us tonight to consider seven descriptions here, just in these few verses, that give us a revelation of Jesus Christ as being all supreme. It reveals the supremacy of Jesus Christ. Now, supremacy, that is His rule, His authority, His power, His omnipotence. We can all agree God is supreme. And Hebrews 1, verses 1 to 3, give us seven descriptions of Christ. Let's look at those briefly tonight. The first thing that we see in Christ is that He is heir of all things. Jesus Christ is heir of all things. God has appointed His Son to be heir. In Philippians 2 and verse 9, it says that God has highly exalted Him. That is Christ Jesus. God the Father has exalted His Son and given Him the name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those things in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. You can see the all supremacy of Jesus Christ. The Father has entrusted Him with all. And that every tongue should confess, Philippians says, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. If Jesus is heir of all things, what a privilege for the child of God to be considered a co-heir with Christ. What a privilege it is to us that the all-supreme God has exalted the Son and made him heir of all things, and we are appointed heirs with God's Son. That is incredible. Jesus Christ became a human being, and this connects us with him and connects us to God. And Christ, back in the book of Psalms, Psalm 2 verse 7, it says, "I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He has said to me, Thou art my Son, today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance." This is the promise back in the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Hebrews parallels a number of Psalms. And in the book of Psalm 2, it talks of the promise of the Messiah, of Jesus Christ himself, God's own Son. And so what the writer of Hebrews is doing is using the Old Testament to prove Jesus is heir. He is heir of all things. He is the one, he is the Messiah. And the nations are his inheritance, and the very ends of the earth are Christ's possession. So, what I want to do tonight, I want to look at these seven aspects very, very briefly, and then apply a practical application. Perhaps in a small group like this, we can offer even our own thoughts to this tonight. The thing I see in this first aspect of Jesus Christ being heir, if he is heir, if Christ Jesus is heir, and I am a co-heir with him, I can rejoice in all the present and all the future blessing and provision that is in him. In every way, he is all sufficient. I don't strive to just be popular among men or have this world's good for myself. If all that is in him, all that he is and all that he blesses with is satisfaction. He, to be satisfied in him alone, as the hymn writer writes, should be my resolution. To be satisfied in him alone, in all that he is. And so the world runs to and fro and strives about. There are so many family disputes about the inheritance. It tears families apart. Friends, we have something far beyond what this earth can offer. We are co-heirs with Christ. This is incredible. All that he has prepared for us. We have an inheritance in heaven that cannot be spoiled. 1 Corinthians 2:9 writes, "As it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." We have our all-sufficiency in him. And the greatest privilege is to be a co-heir with Christ. And this is the beauty of what God has done in his Son. That though they have been orphans, though they have been widows, though they have been destitute children and are in this world, those who receive Christ come into the family of families and into the inheritance divine. That is an incredible blessing. God has done that in his Son. And so this transcends all that is seen. Christ Jesus has given an eternal inheritance in the heavens prepared for those who love him. As we heard this morning, our life is fleeting. Our life is moving rapidly. We're seeing loss of life. We're seeing people come, people go. But he does not change. And God has appointed Jesus Christ, his Son, heir of all things. Number two, Jesus created the world and Jesus maintains it. It says in Hebrews 1 verse 2 that he has appointed him heir of all things through whom also he made the worlds. That is an amazing revelation. He is greater than the angels. He is greater than the prophets. He was there at the beginning. Remember how the chief priests and the Pharisees tore their garments when Jesus said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Most assuredly, I say to you, in John 8:58, Jesus says, "Before Abraham was, I am." They tore. They nearly died within when they heard such apparent blasphemies. But no, Jesus Christ was before Abraham. But you're not but 40 years old. How can you claim such things? The Word of God decrees to us, Jesus Christ has created the world. He maintains it. He was before the prophets, before the angels, and he was before any created thing. And Romans expounds this very well also. It shows and proves Christ was before all things and created all things. Without him, there's nothing made that is made. We know that in John 1, verse 1. We know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, that is Christ. This shows his supremacy. All things were made through him. All things were made through Christ. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Nothing was made. Colossians goes on to say this in Colossians 1, particularly verse 17, but 1:15-18, it says that God, that Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. That was an incredible revelation to me when I accepted Christ, to know him and to see him as creator. That's incredible. That's amazing. By him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on the earth, whether visible, whether invisible, thrones, dominions, principalities or powers. And we know Paul wrote this. He said this, Colossians 1. All things were created through him, that is through Christ, and for him. And for him. All things were created for him. Man wants the glory. Man quickly wants the praise. But the praise belongs to Christ Jesus. The praise belongs to the supreme Savior, the Lord Jesus, whom God has appointed heir of all things, through whom also the worlds were made. So in a practical sense, if Jesus spoke all things into being, surely as I awake each day I'm reminded of his brilliant creation, that Jesus Christ, my Savior, has made this new. He has allowed, by the power of his word, the sun to rise this morning. He has sent the rain today on the just and on the unjust. My Savior Jesus, I'm connected because I'm an heir with him. I'm created in his image. And on a practical level, I can give him thanks and give him glory each day. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. You know, the story of creation makes perfect sense to a young mind, that God has created, that there is a creator, there is a designer. To a young mind, an unadulterated mind that hasn't been influenced by this world and its ideas, it makes sense to a child that God has created. The theory of evolution leaves no possibility for an intelligent designer, a creator God. And this theory creates only confusion and doubt, and it leaves men in deception and from the realization that Jesus Christ is the supreme God and he is the supreme creator God. And that, when that light comes on for man, for a child, for whoever it might be, when the light comes on, Jesus is creator, glory is given to him as son. Glory is given to the Lord Jesus. So when I awake, when you awake, give glory to Christ Jesus. He causes the sun to come, and we should seek him right from the outset of our day, right from the morning. So as he creates, he's also here expressed as the radiance of God's glory. Point three, Jesus, he is the brightness of God's glory. Notice in verse 3 of Hebrews, he is the brightness of his, capital H, of God's glory. He is the brightness, the very beam, the one who was sent from heaven. None of the prophets, none of the angels can claim to be the very beam of God's glory. And you know, none of us have ever seen the sun in its glory. If we only look but to the sun with the naked eye, we are injured by its rays, by its power. And Jesus has come as a light into the world. And though no man has seen the Father, the Bible says, 1 Timothy 6:16 says that God alone has immortality, dwelling in unapproachable light, which whom no man hath seen or can see, to whom be honor and everlasting power. Amen. And Jesus Christ came to earth because no man could approach God and live. No man could approach such glory, such radiance. And yet Jesus the Son is sent. He is the very beam of God's glory. Back in the Old Testament, Exodus chapter 24, and we heard of Moses, the man of God, this morning. And in Exodus 24:15, we read of the Shekinah glory of God. It was that display and of his glory and of his presence. And when Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered the mountain, and the glory of the Lord rested on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. And on the seventh day, God calls to Moses from the midst of the cloud. And it says that the eyes of the sons of Israel, to them, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Think of that Shekinah glory. Think of that consuming fire. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. How can man approach him and live? And yet Christ Jesus is revealed in Hebrews as being the supreme mediator between God and man. The mediator, Christ Jesus. I love to read the book of Hebrews, particularly at the Lord's table. Because it declares this passage. This way we can have access into a holy place by the blood of Jesus, by that light that has come, that has made us a co-heir with him. Incredible revelation of Christ. He is the very radiance of God's glory. Hebrews says, the writer to Hebrews says that God in these days has spoken to us by his Son. He has spoken to us through Christ. And in this world of doubt and of fear and of despair, man rejects the very light that has come. When Jesus came, we know men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil and they rejected him. And 1 John 5:10 goes further to say that he who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. We who have believed have this witness within ourselves. But those who do not believe make God out to be a liar. What blasphemy. Even as evolution is blasphemy. Those who reject the Son make God to be a liar. Make him out to be so. Because they have not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And here the book of Hebrews states to us that Jesus Christ is the brightness of God's glory. He is the very radiance, the beam of light that has come from the presence of God. We sing about it. We learn about it. He came from the very presence of God the Father. From the glory that we cannot even begin to comprehend. For we have not even been in Mount Sinai in that time where God's fire was on the mountaintop and all Israel feared. And yet in these days, do we fear? Do we stand in awe of Christ? Yes, as co-heirs, but do we see that He is the brightness of God's glory? We men are in our rightful place. You know, for many years, man believed that the earth was the center of the universe. And all things revolved around the earth, as it were, as man. That everything revolves around us. No, we learned. We learned in the 1600s or late 1500s that no, everything revolves around the sun. The universe revolves around the sun. And if God has given us this supreme revelation, all revolves around the sun. S-O-N. All revolves around the sun, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is at the center. Man is not at the center. Yes, man is important. He is in his plan. But man is not at the center. All things were created through him and for him, and by him all things consist. That in all things, as Colossians writes, that in all things he may have the preeminence, that Jesus Christ might be glorified and be lifted up. So if Jesus reflects the glory of God in a practical sense, if Jesus reflects God's glory, and I am Christ's, I am to reflect Christ's glory and light day by day. So I'm to reflect His love and His light. And when I think of those things, the reflection of Christ's glory, things that come to mind in immediately are a purity and love. Truth. Truth coming down to earth. We are to be filled with light and filled with love. Filled with that which is heavenly. And there will be a unity among true spirit-filled believers who have tasted and seen that the Lord is good. There must be purity. Light casts out all darkness. If He, Christ Jesus, is the brightness of God's glory, my life is to reflect that light, that brilliance. Number four, Jesus is the exact representation or image. Now the idea here in the book of Hebrews, when it says He's the express image of His person, another capital H, He is the very image of God. He is like a mold. It actually literally means an impression, as if you were making a mold. So Christ Jesus is the very expression or impression of the Father. And in John 14:9, we know the account of Philip, when Philip asks Jesus to show the disciples the Father. And Jesus says, have I not been so long with you, and yet you have come to not know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. He is the very expression, the very express image of His person. How can you say, show us the Father? You've seen the Son. You've seen the brilliance of His light. And it's amazing to me. Christ came down. God came down. And those who profess to know Him, to read of Him, to study Him, when they saw Jesus, they crucified Him. For they did not know Him. And they did not know the Father. Friends, we must know Him. He is the express image of His person. He is the very representation. Paul rightly said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Paul could say that very boldly. Imitate me. So if the radiance of Christ is filling my life, if I'm a word-filled and spirit-filled Christian, light should be coming forth. Light day by day should be evident in my life. Purity and love. Truth should be coming forth from our lives as believers. We are to reflect the glory of God. And It goes a step further in saying that we are to be a representation of Him. But none of us can say, as Jesus said, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." That for us is blasphemy. None of us would say that. We cannot say that. But we can reflect God's character, God's being, through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God working in us, and through Christian experiences as we walk with the Lord. And we are to. We are to, in a very practical way. So the practical application is here. As Paul rightly said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So if I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, if you are, if I am, I am not to be conformed to the world. Remember that verse, Romans 12:1. Do not be, what does it say? Conformed. Do not be conformed to this world. That's quite the opposite of being the express, of seeing Christ as the express image of His person. And being a follower of Christ. I'm not to be conformed, but rather I'm to be transformed. So I don't take on this world's system, this world's lifestyle. I'm different. We are to be different. We are to be conformed to the image of the invisible God. We are to be conformable to His character. And so this world's failure of unbelief, this world's failure in every facet of life, we're not to take it on board. In life, in relationships, in finances, in love, in joy, in all the things that this world holds dear. We're not to follow the pattern and the course of this world, but be transformed. We're in this world, but we are passing through. We're not of this world. Do not be influenced by this world. Allow Christ Jesus to press you into His mold. Sometimes it's like a triangle fitting, I know, into a square block size. But God is working. He is working around the edges to change us, to mold us. Be malleable. Allow Him to mold you into His image and likeness. Because He deserves that. He deserves that for His glory. Point 5, Jesus is the one upholding all things by the word of His power. We know as He walked on earth, He would heal, He would forgive, He would cast out demons. He calmed nature's fury. And one word, He calmed all things. So it shows that He is Creator. It shows He has all authority. Over all in this world. He is all power. We look around and even Christians think, well, I don't think God's in control. Christians can be thinking, is God truly in control? We can have those doubts when we see things around us unfold, when we see the hurt, when we see the abuse, when we see what man is capable of. Where is God in these things? One might ask. But God is in control. And it says here that Jesus upholds all things by the word of His power. He is Creator. And He holds sway and ultimate authority in His sovereignty. He is sovereign. He is on the throne. We know that the winds and the seas obey Him. We know that creation, all angels, all authorities and powers are subject to Him. 1 Peter 3:22. So if Jesus is in control, don't look to the seas and the tempest around you. If He is in control, do not look at the trials and be discouraged. And you know, trials usually come in packages of 2 and 3. Have you noticed that in your Christian experience? It's sometimes more than one at a time. But God, Jesus, in control. There may be a tempest raging, but be calm. Trust the Lord Jesus. He holds the world in His hands. if he has saved you, if he has done what for man is impossible, he has saved us. Surely he will sustain us. Surely we are not to be moved over matters that affect us on this earth. Trust him. He has moved heaven and earth to bring salvation to men. Trust him in all things. He is in control. Jesus himself is in control. Number six, as we're drawing to a close, number six, Jesus himself purged our sins. And this casts out every other false and vain religion of man and belief system that man has created. It says clearly here, when he had himself purged our sins. So Jesus is revealed as the supreme God and the all-sufficient power of the universe by being the only one that by himself can purge sins. Glory to his name for that. Hebrews expounds on that further. I won't read it all out. Hebrews 9 expounds on it, that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, Hebrews 9:15 says, for this reason, he's the mediator of the new covenant. Preach Christ. Preach Christ and him crucified. Preach him where you are, in your workplace, in your circle of influence, amongst friends. He deserves the glory. He alone can purge sin. I had a wonderful opportunity in these last few weeks. I prayed for those opportunities. I was challenged 3 weeks ago when Keith was with us. And in the 3 weeks between Keith's messages, I had the opportunity by God's grace to preach to two men who were very open to hear on these things. One was a Hindu man, and another man, I believe he's not a practicing Catholic. But I preached Christ and Christ crucified. He alone has purged our sins. Whether you're speaking with a Hindu, a Catholic, it doesn't matter. There are only two systems of belief in this world. There are only two systems of belief. It's Christ and him alone who can purge sin, and there's everything else. All of man's inventions, all of man's names, all of man's systems, they're all a system of works. And it's unbelief in the living God. But Jesus Christ, he is heir of all things, friends. He has made the worlds. He is the brightness, the beam of God's glory. He is the very image, the express image of God's person. He upholds all things by the word of his power. He by himself purged our sins. And he is able to purge others. And he's doing it. He's doing it right now. He's purging men from sins. Glory to his name. And he, lastly, point seven, he sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. That position alone has set him above all the angels. Particularly as, God willing, I want to study Hebrews further with us on the Sunday evenings. Jesus Christ has the place of authority that no one has had. No angel could come and sit at the right hand of the Father of glory. Only the Son. He is sat down. And this sets him above all others, all creation. Every knee will bow, as we read in Philippians. Every knee will bow. He sat down at the right hand of God the Father. He being found in appearance as a man, reading Philippians again, he humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. All that is in heaven, all that is on the earth, Can we see the supremacy of Jesus Christ? And the practical application from this seventh point is, my response to Christ being seated at the right hand is that I go. I speak for Him. I go. I am sent. We are sent. His work is finished. Mine continues. Yours continues. Until the day we pass from this life to be in His glory forever. As Keith challenged us this morning, this is the Great Commission. We are to go to make our lives count. He has sat down at the right hand of all authority. But my work continues. Your work continues. And my response and our response is to go. Can we see through the supremacy of Jesus Christ that a deserving response to this is required from our lives? Because Jesus is heir of all. He has made the worlds. He upholds all things. He Himself purged our sins. And indeed He reigns. He reigns this night. He reigns on the throne. He is most high. He deserves our prayer and our praise. Let's pray tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that as we consider these words as we go from this place, we might see literal effect and change in our lives and hearts, Lord. Because, Lord Jesus, You have loved us so that You've come for us and made us co-heirs with You. Lord Jesus, we believe that You are Creator God, that You have made the worlds and You spoke and it was so. We know, Lord Jesus, You are the light of the world. You have come. And You displayed the brightness of God's glory. We know, Lord Jesus, and we believe and we proclaim tonight that You are the very image, the express image of God the Father. And we have seen You, Lord Jesus, and do testify that we have experienced You, Christ Jesus. And He has seen Me, as You have said, seen the Father. Lord, we thank You that You uphold all things by the word of Your power, that You are in control and You're sovereign. We thank You, Lord Jesus, for purging our sins, for cleansing us from all sin. And we thank You tonight that You reign. And as we sing, and as we close tonight, O Lord, may we give You honor and glory that You deserve. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.